Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Employment Matters podcast, brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the world. I'm your host, Mark Allward, an associate at Taylor McCaffrey LLP, the ELA member in Manitoba. On the program, we span the globe and receive updates on critical issues from ELA members in each region. Today, we have an update on new Canadian federal legislation related to competition. Joining us today on the program is Aaron Coos, a lawyer at Sherrard Coos, the ELA member for Ontario. Aaron, we are delighted to have you on the program today. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. Really happy to be with you here today, Mark.
Aaron, I understand there are some important changes coming to Canada in terms of competition law, and some of those changes impact employers. Who will they impact, and when will those changes become effective?
Yeah, because this is federal legislation, it applies to all Canadian employers. So unlike a lot of what we think of as pure employment-related legislation, like the Employment Standards Act or other similar wage and hour legislation, those things are specific to each province. This will impact all employers the same way across the country. The changes were introduced in June of 2022, and they become effective June 23rd of this year, giving employers some lead time to get their house in order, if you will.
So, Aaron, can you give us a little bit of a high-level overview as to what those changes are and why our Canadian employers should be paying attention?
You bet. The pending changes are really around employment, and specifically ensuring employers don't engage in what are thought of as anti-competitive practices when it comes to their employees. Many employers are used to having to deal with competition legislation in the running of their business, for instance, retailers. These changes really impact how all employers deal with potentially anti-competitive actions with respect to employees. The changes clearly prohibit certain conduct in two areas: hiring employees and fixing of wages and other terms and conditions of employment. In terms of why employers should care, a breach of one of these prohibitions comes with a steep, steep consequence, including a prison sentence of up to 14 years and fines without any upper cap.
Those are some pretty significant consequences. So what do employers have to be aware of in terms of hiring employees?
Okay, so the changes to the Competition Act prohibit unaffiliated employers, meaning essentially those that aren't under the same common control or aren't under the same parent company or corporate umbrella, from agreeing they won't hire one another's employees. Such an agreement doesn't have to be a formal agreement to be prohibited. It can be an informal agreement, a handshake, or even just an articulated understanding between two organizations that they won't hire or poach one another's employees. Even things like two companies agreeing they'll give one another the heads up before they hire each other's employees could be considered proof of an underlying agreement to restrict the competition for employees. And two employees don't have to be competitors to be caught by this part of the legislation. Any two or more organizations, whether or not they're even in the same industry, are subject to the same prohibitions. Now, that said, a one-way agreement, such as we often see in an employment agreement, where an employee agrees they won't solicit your employees after they leave your employment, that's not a violation of the Competition Act. That's a one-way agreement. To be offside, the agreement has to be a two-way agreement between two unaffiliated companies. That's what the prohibition against poaching, as it's often short form to, that's what is prohibited.
And what about the new rules around the terms and conditions of employment?
So here, employers can't work with one another to fix, maintain, decrease, or control salaries, wages, or other terms and conditions of employment. And again, when we're seeing stuff in the media around this, it's often referred to as wage fixing, but it goes far beyond just wage fixing. The clearest breach is an agreement between two employers. Again, they don't have to be competitors, to set certain wages or other terms and conditions of employment, such as how many days a week employees are required to work in the office, something that's currently a topic of conversation among a lot of employers. But it doesn't take a clear agreement in order to breach the Competition Act. For instance, if an employer shares sensitive employment information, like salaries or bonus programs, with another employer, and that second employer then makes changes to its own terms and conditions of employment, like the salary and bonus programs, an illegal agreement could be inferred. On the other hand, finding out through publicly available information that another company has increased its salaries and taking steps to respond to that, that's not a violation of the new Competition Act provision. The key is the sharing of sensitive employee information, such as salaries, between companies and then acting on that information. For instance, if you're thinking of increasing reimbursement for mileage and you call another employer to see what they're doing, there's a good chance you're going to fall offside. Another example, if a human resources professional from company A has lunch with a friend who's in HR at company B, and they discuss the changes that company B just made to their bonus plan, company A then adjusts their bonus program, and the two companies' bonus programs just happen to closely align, that alone is enough to create real risk for the organizations.
That's really interesting. So then practically, what should Canadian employers be thinking about now in order to be prepared for June 23rd?
First thing I'd say is think about how you're going to train people in your organization to ensure they stay on side of these new provisions. So think about things like how you're going to source the data you'd like to have to make employment-related decisions for your organization, such as aggregated, anonymized salary data. Think about how you're going to handle conversations, including exchanges by email that may start to run afoul of these new provisions. And this includes how you're going to train your people to make sure they handle these exchanges properly. For instance, if you're in an industry meeting and someone asks others around the table how much they offer for maternity leave top-up, or whether they're offering financial incentive for employees to return to the office, you need to immediately shut down that discussion. And if you can't do that, you absolutely need to leave the room, and you want it recorded that you left the room when you did. You want to make sure that there can't be evidence out there that suggests that you participated in what is ultimately found to be an unlawful exchange of information. Similarly, if someone sends you an email with sensitive employee information from their organization, it's not enough to just not respond. You need to make clear that you're deleting the email, that your organization won't accept this kind of information, and ask the person by reply email not to send any information like this in the future. So considering how your organization is going to deal with situations like this, how you're going to train your staff to deal with situations like this, and how you are going to record that that training was done, these are the kinds of things that you want to make sure you're getting ahead of before June 23rd. The Competition Bureau's powers are broader than ever, and believe you, no organization wants to be on the wrong end of them.
Wow, it sure sounds like the government's cracking down on employers sharing any sort of information between each other. It's going to be interesting to see how this affects our day-to-day interactions and client decisions with respect to things like hiring and, of course, the terms and conditions of employment. Because in my experience, a lot of employers, especially in my market, are very much influenced by what are the current trends. And so I think we will see a little bit of a shift in that regard, where employers will have to rely only on publicly available information, which is going to make it a lot more difficult for employers to replicate what others in their field are doing at the material time. Erin, did you have anything else that you wanted to share with our audience today with respect to this new competition legislation?
Another thing to think about is how you're going to get that information. You just made the comment about publicly available, and that's absolutely a fair source of information. But hopefully we're going to see more offerings of aggregated, anonymized information, perhaps through consulting firms. And so that way employers can get information that's useful and helpful to them in their particular field that they can look to and rely upon in making their own decisions in a way that doesn't fall offside the Competition Act.
Sage advice. Well, that is all the time we have for today. Erin, this has been a very interesting discussion and will be very interesting to see how this develops over the next handful of months and couple years. Thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure speaking with you this afternoon.
Thanks very much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. If you would like to connect with Erin, please click on her bio in the description of this podcast. We also encourage you to reach out to any of our lawyers around the world by selecting Find a Lawyer on the ELA website at ela.law. In addition, search the ELA website where you can sign up to receive invitations to our upcoming webinars, download white papers and on-demand content from our online library, or access the ELA's exclusive Global Employer Handbook. You've been listening to Employment Matters, a podcast brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm Mark Allward. Thanks for listening.